This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joyful, joyful.
Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. This is the show where we talk about spirituality and sexuality for our community.
Good evening, and it is the Spirit Lounge, and there's Rachel and myself, Claudine, in the studio tonight. Mark's off again doing
important business.
That
we'll let him get away with it this time.
So today we've got some, I suppose, deeper topics to talk about, as today is the National Sorry Day for Australia. And today an Aboriginal flag flew above Victoria's Parliament House to mark the government's apology to Indigenous children who were taken from their families, the Stolen Generations. And the federal government under Kevin Rudd apologised to the Stolen Generations on the 13th of February 2008, though Sorry Day had been observed on the 26th of May for about 11 years before that. And also this week, on Tuesday, the rainbow flag flew above Victoria's Parliament House as the Premier, Daniel Andrews, apologised on behalf of past Victorian governments for the criminalisation of gay, lesbian and bisexual people. So tonight we'll hear and talk about these apologies and some other apologies and their significance, and think about some religious perspectives on apology. And I've put together an all Indigenous playlist for tonight. So
very exciting. And there were so many more songs that we could have chosen as well. So we've done our best at choosing just four for tonight. But as well, if you want to share your story with us, if you want to let us know if you identify as being of an Aboriginal heritage and you want to tell us how Sorry Day affects you, we want to hear from you. Send us a message on 0427 Joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au. We would love to hear personal stories tonight. We'd love it.
Indeed. So Sorry Day marks the start of Reconciliation Week, which so that goes until the 3rd of June. This particular day, 26th of May, was established as National Sorry Day in response to the Bringing Them Home report in 1997, which is nearly 20 years ago. And that was a report of the Australian Human Rights Commission into the forced removal of children of Indigenous children from their families. So Sorry Day was established to commemorate the history of these removals and their effects. And it took 11 more years after the report and a change of government before an Australian Parliament apologised for the practice of removing Indigenous children from their families. So this was one of the first major actions of Kevin Rudd's government at the start of 2008. And here's an excerpt from that apology from 2008.
Today we honour the Indigenous peoples of this land, the oldest continuing cultures in human history. We reflect on their past mistreatment. We reflect in particular on the mistreatment of those who were stolen generations, this blemished chapter in our national history. The time has now come for the nation to turn a new page. A new page in Australia's history by righting the wrongs of the past and so moving forward with confidence to the future. We apologise for the laws and policies of successive parliaments and governments that have inflicted profound grief, suffering and loss on these our fellow Australians. We apologise especially for the removal of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children from their families, their communities and their country. For the pain, suffering and hurt of these stolen generations, their descendants, and for their families left behind, we say sorry. To the mothers and the fathers, the brothers and the sisters, for the breaking up of families and communities, we say sorry. And for the indignity and degradation thus inflicted on a proud people and a proud culture, we say sorry. We today take this first step by acknowledging the past and laying claim to a future that embraces all Australians. A future where this Parliament resolves that the injustices of the past must never, never happen again.
And that was Kevin Rudd, former Prime Minister, apologising to the stolen generations in February 2008. Today is National Sorry Day, and we're talking about why governments apologise and some religious perspectives on apologising. And it's, as we've said, if you're from an Indigenous background or have particular perspectives on this, do contact us 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. I remember signing an apology book in, when was it, 98, when I was an undergraduate, and it was quite, I think, for my friends and teachers and people of a certain kind of political leaning, it was a really important, one of the main issues for us at the time. And I'm not sure whether it's maybe faded from awareness in general now, even though it's still it is, we talk about closing the gap, and that's something that Kevin Rudd talks about later in that speech about, as he said, this apology was just one step in a process of closing the gap in terms of inequality and really practical issues like life expectancy and education and health between Indigenous and non-Indigenous people. So having, I think, continuing to acknowledge Sorry Day is important to remind us that there's still a lot of work to be done.
Definitely. And I don't even know if there's ever a finish line. I don't think it's something that there's no one goal that needs to be achieved. And once that happens, then we all go, oh, great, let's move on. And now it's the future. I think this is something that is going to need to be remembered forever. And it's one of those important days. And I think I'm going to go from my personal stance on this. Originally, when I first heard about Sorry Day as a young, mid-teenager probably, I kind of had that horrible mind frame of, well, why do I need to be sorry? Because I wasn't alive and I treat Aboriginal people nicely and I haven't done anything wrong, so why do I need to be sorry? But it's beyond a personal acknowledgement of apologising. And apologising isn't just that shallow, oh, like you accidentally knock someone with your bag in the street and you go, oh, sorry. Like, no one really means that. You just say it because it's a respectful thing to say. Like, this is one of those deep, heartfelt, we want to make change sorries. So I almost feel like sorry isn't a good enough word for it. It's like,
it feels too light.
It does. Yeah. It does.
And I think also just the fact that the government has said sorry for particular practice of the stolen generations, that's just one part of a much bigger picture. I mean, it really started in 1788 when the British kind of came and took away all this land from their original inhabitants and just started massacring them. And there's no been no real, we haven't sort of made up with that.
Yeah, and well, and if you want to really get technical, we are all involved because we are, if you have a house or if you live in an apartment or if you live in a unit or even if you're homeless and you live on the street, you're still living on Aboriginal land.
Yeah.
So we all do have an involvement in why we are part of this Reconciliation Week and Sorry Day, definitely. Do we want to play a song?
We'll play a song. We'll hear from Archie Roach, who was a member of the Stolen Generation and a really telling the story of that experience for him.
You are listening to The Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. You are listening to The Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9, and that was Took the Children Away by Archie Roach. We're playing all Aboriginal music this evening, or all music by Aboriginal people.
Aboriginal and Islander.
And Islander, there you go. So we've gotten a message through from John from Perth. Good job, John, for tuning in. It's a couple of hours difference still, isn't it? Anyway, thanks, John. He sent us a link through, and we've had a look at this. So he said that there is a council, so Carnarvon Council in Western Australia, has voted not to fly the Aboriginal flag outside of its offices during NAIDOC Week, which we are going to tell you is National Aboriginal and Islander Day Observance Committee Week.
And that's in the first week of July, so a few weeks away.
Yep. And its president saying that it would be divisive to do so. And Claudine and I have read through the article. We agree with the councillor who has mentioned at the bottom, a local MP, Catania, says that it's a load of rubbish, and we agree. So
that's quoting him. He's actually said it's a load of rubbish. That's not just Rachel.
Yes, no, that is an actual quote. In quotation marks, a load of rubbish. So basically, the president of this council has said they're not going to fly it because they feel like if they fly the Aboriginal flag, then they'll have to fly local football teams and stuff. And his points of view are just ridiculous. And he's saying that he, you know, supports Aboriginals and what does he say? From my point of view, I've got to take citizenship ceremonies in here, and it's only fair that different nationalities should all do it under the Australian flag.
I think that gets to a point that, you know, there's an argument that Indigenous Australians have a special kind of position in this country. I mean, it's before Australia became a country, there were hundreds of different countries in this land, and Australia's the sort of thing that's been this nation that's been put on top of an existing land with multiple nations and tribes. And so, I mean, if I think Indigenous people of all people could say, well, we didn't, you know, choose to be part of Australia, that was forced on them.
Yeah. Definitely. So that was a very interesting article sent through. So thanks again to John for sending that through. So if you have anything for us tonight, you can send us an SMS on 0427JOY949 or an email on air at joy.org.au, and we'll definitely check it out or read your stories out, any of that. So we're going to get back to talking about when Sorry Day actually began. So obviously the apology from Kevin Rudd was in February, but we recognise Sorry Day as being during this week in May, and specifically on the 26th of May. So the very first National Sorry Day was actually held on the 26th of May in 1998, which was 1 year after the tabling of the report Bringing Them Home. And the report was a result of the inquiry by the Human Rights and Equal Opportunity Commission into the removal of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders from their families. And then, if I go down a bit further.
So that was originally a community-led, the 26th of May was a community-led organisation.
Yes.
Until, and there were numerous calls to the one of our longest-serving prime ministers, John Howard, to continually refuse to apologise for Stolen Generations.
Yeah, and Claudine did mention earlier as well about the sorry books, where people of the community could just write sorry, and you can actually still view these apologies at Apology Australia, where they got over 24,000 apologies, which is beautiful. And so on the 28th of May in the year 2000, so over 250,000 people participated in the Corroboree 2000 Bridge Walk across Sydney Harbour Bridge as well. So there's been a lot of attempts throughout time of people saying, we acknowledge this, we respect this, and we're sorry. But then it wasn't until 2008. So this was 10 years prior. So 1998, when National Sorry Day began, it wasn't for 10 years that Kevin Rudd actually
said sorry.
Did something about it.
Said sorry
officially.
On behalf of the government. And it was in February because that was meant to be one of the first acts that the new parliament did.
There
so that's why it was so early.
There was also a National Day of Healing in 2005 as well, but of course wasn't actually a sorry day because, as Claudine mentioned, it was under the Howard government and he, I don't know, what
wasn't
was his
so keen
belief?
On it. I think it was that view that there wasn't anything that he needed to apologise for. It wasn't something that he had done. I think at one point he was saying he wanted to express regret, but that wasn't... That's not the same thing as saying sorry.
Yeah. So he probably had that personal belief like I originally had, but then got informed. Apparently informing him was not good enough. So I want to link this through. So when last year I spent a few months in Canada and I went to a church service, just one, whilst I was over there, and it just happened to be on Canada's Sorry Day. So they had a very similar situation in terms of the Aboriginal Canadians getting taken from their families and put into residential schools. So they were referred to as residential schools. They were just like boarding schools for Indigenous Canadians that was funded by the Canadian government, but it was also administered by Christian churches. So it was predominantly the Roman Catholic Church of Canada with about 60% influence, but then also the Anglican Church of Canada and the United Church of Canada. And so what they did was their plan was just to remove children from the influence of their families and their culture and assimilate them into Canadian culture. And this happened from 1876 right through to the late 20th century. They don't have an exact date of when this ended, but that's a very, very, very long time in Canadian history for that to happen. So an amendment to the Indian Act made attendance of day school, industrial school or residential schools compulsory for First Nations children. And in some parts of the country, residential schools were the only option. And then they, I don't know, followed suit of Australia in 2008. So on June 11th, 2008, the Prime Minister Stephen Harper made a public apology on behalf of the Government of Canada and the leaders of other federal parties in the Canadian House of Commons, but reconciliation attempts had begun in the 1980s with church apologies for what had been done to Aboriginal peoples. So there were lots of apologies coming out, but none as great as the apology from Pope Benedict the 16th. So in 2009, Chief Fontaine, who was the representative of the Indian community, he tried to obtain an apology for abuses that occurred in the residential school system. The audience was funded by Indian and Northern Affairs Canada, and the Vatican actually did respond. So their response was, His Holiness recalled that since the earliest days of her presence in Canada, the Church, particularly through her missionary personnel, has closely accompanied the Indigenous peoples. Given the sufferings that some Indigenous children experienced in the Canadian residential school system, the Holy Father expressed his sorrow at the anguish caused by the deplorable conduct of some members of the Church, and he offers his sympathy and prayerful solidarity. His Holiness emphasizes that the acts of abuse cannot be tolerated in society, and he prayed that all those that were affected would experience healing, and he encouraged First Nations people to continue to move forward with renewed hope, which is lovely, but he still didn't say sorry. So he didn't make an apology on behalf of all of the churches at the time.
But there is a lot of religious thought about apology and about the meaning of sorry, which we'll talk about a bit further afterwards. And we'll talk about another apology that's taken place this week. That was My Island Home by Christine Arnoux on this in special all Indigenous playlist for Sorry Day. You're listening to the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. So we are talking about Sorry Day and government apologies, and for a different apology that I'm sure a lot of members of our community have been paying attention to. This Tuesday, just 2 days ago, the Victorian Premier, Daniel Andrews, apologised for the government's past criminalisation of homosexuality and began the process of expunging these convictions from people's criminal records. The Victorian government decriminalised homosexuality in 1980 under a Liberal Premier, Rupert Hamer. However, people who had been convicted before then still had these criminal records until they were given the ability to expunge them this year. On Tuesday, Daniel Andrews apologised on behalf of the government, and he was followed by the Leader of the Opposition and members of other parties. Here's an excerpt from the Premier's apology.
These laws did not just punish homosexual acts, they punished homosexual thought. They had no place in a liberal democracy, they have no place anywhere. The Victorian Parliament and the Victorian Government were at fault. For this we are sorry. On behalf of this House, we express our deepest regret. Speaker, it's never too late to put things right. It's never too late to say sorry and mean it. Speaker, it's been a life of struggle for generations of Victorians. As representatives, we take full responsibility. We criminalised homosexual thoughts and deeds. We validated homophobic words and acts. And we set the tone for a society that ruthlessly punished the differences with a short sentence in prison and a life sentence of shame. From now on, that shame, Speaker, is ours. This Parliament and this Government are to be formally held to account for designing a culture of darkness and shame. And those who faced its sanction and lived in fear are to be formally recognised for their relentless pursuit of freedom and love. It all started here, and it all ends here too. To our knowledge, no jurisdiction in the world has ever offered a full and formal apology for laws like these. So please let these words rest forever in our records. On behalf of the Parliament, the Government and the people of Victoria, for the laws we passed and the lives we ruined and the standards we set, we are so sorry. Humbly, deeply sorry.
And that was the Premier, Daniel Andrews, apologising on behalf of the Victorian government for the criminalisation of homosexuality. And there was quite a few, I was watching it live on TV, and you know, there were quite a few tears in and out of the house. It's you can hear that it's quite a genuine and moving apology. And not surprisingly, this event has been covered extensively on Joy and in other LGBTI media. And so we'll be I'll have a couple of links to some of the discussions on our current affairs show, The Informer, which were held on Monday and Tuesday. And in one of these interviews, the Minister for Equality, Martin Foley, said to young LGBTI people, "Don't forget your history because it will shape your future." And I think that goes to sort of why groups of people make apologies. It's partly to acknowledge what's happened in the past, but it's also being aware of how injustice continues. And in his speech, Daniel Andrews goes on to talk about how he makes the links between the culture that enabled the government to make those laws and how thinking like that continues today, and how people are, you know, young, especially young people, are still facing discrimination and shame and confusion among themselves because of these generations of cultural thought. But it's also really quite explicit that the Premier says this is something that the government did, and it's not something that he personally was responsible for, but it's as a leader of the government, he has to kind of face up to what his predecessors did. And I think this is something that John Howard didn't grasp, that it wasn't, no one was saying, "John Howard, you
need
stole
to apologize,
people," but
yeah.
it's about you you're carrying on a tradition of an institution that did these things, and that institution which you represent needs to needs to recognise this.
Absolutely. Something that actually I'm trying to find the quote, the exact quote on it, but I can't find it. But Daniel Andrews also talked about how a couple had been convicted or whatever just for holding hands on a tram, and this thing has come about it of when you are on a tram and you are with the person you love, or you're with a friend, or like, don't be afraid to hold their hand, and you hold their hand and do it unapologetically. So it's I believe the words "do it unapologetically" were used. I'm just trying to find a quote, but I can't. But it's like, we're not the ones that need to be sorry now. It's the actions of the past that led up to this point. And now do those things that you used to have to feel guilty for, and do it unapologetically as well. So
yeah, and as he was saying in this excerpt too, that the shame that was made, that gay people were made to feel, is the shame that the government needs to feel for having done that. And it's really quite a strong statement to say to people, young Victorians, be free to show your affection, when you consider that there's still so many parts of the world where that is still something that can land you in jail.
Definitely. And on the Daniel Andrews topic as well, he actually posted something about National Sorry Day. So he said, this is from his Facebook page. He said, "Today we apologise for the forcible removal of Aboriginal children from their families. Today is National Sorry Day. But like any apology, if nothing changes, it doesn't mean very much. Governments have been making the decisions on their own for too long. Aboriginal people know what is right for their communities and what is right for their culture. Victoria's treaty with Aboriginal Victorians will be the first of its kind in our nation's history, and Aboriginal people will lead this change. That's something we can all be proud of." So that's he's on the ball for apologising. Yeah. He's all over this sorry thing.
Yeah, and that's really exciting to hear that we're talking about a treaty with Aboriginal people, because that's another thing that has met a lot of resistance in Australia, whereas you look at New Zealand that had a treaty about 150 years ago. I mean, granted, it's a different, it's a smaller place. It's not as complicated in New Zealand as it is here, but it's something that still divides Australians, whether to argue for a treaty or not. But there's plenty of unfinished business still in Australia.
Absolutely. And, we've talked a lot about the political side of things, but we're going to talk about the religious perspectives on confession and reconciliation. You are listening to The Spirit Lounge. That was The Beautiful Amazing Grace by Gurumul and Paul Kelly. You are listening to The Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9, and we're playing all Indigenous music this evening. I hope everyone's still awake after that. It was very relaxing.
Oh, it's almost a bit of a lullaby.
Almost.
So that was partly in the Yolngu language, and of course the English sung by Paul Kelly. So it's National Sorry Day today, the day marking the 26th of May 1997, when the report Bringing Them Home was delivered, dealing with the Stolen Generations. And we've been talking about the national apology that Kevin Rudd made to the Stolen Generations in 2008, and a similar apology that was made in Canada and for a similar situation with the Indigenous children in residential homes. And we've talked about also about the apology to gay, lesbian and bisexual people in Victoria that was just made 2 days ago. But this is Spirit Lounge, so let's think a bit about what all this saying sorry means in a religious context. And as we said, in Canada, and indeed in Australia, a lot of these missionaries and homes were run by churches, and there's been a tradition a long tradition in Christianity of talking about wrongdoing and reconciliation and repentance. And in terms of the examples in Australia and Canada, there's been a lot of sort of discussion among Indigenous and non-Indigenous people of Christian backgrounds talking about really looking at these these apologies through a religious lens, which I think is especially important when you consider that, you know, churches and Christian groups were often perpetrators of these wrongs.
So, I just wanted to make a point as well. We did hope to get someone who identifies as being of Aboriginal heritage on our show tonight, in the hope that maybe we could have heard about their spirituality and how this sorry day, or how the actions in the past actually affected their spirituality as well, and whether the influence of these homes and schools changed anything about their spirituality as well. But as neither Claudine nor I are experts on that topic, we will leave that for another night. So
there'll be more opportunities.
Definitely. Absolutely. So keep an ear out. We will do that for sure.
But it is important, I think, for us as non-Indigenous people to think about, to be aware of things that have been, as we've said, we're benefiting from injustice that has been done to Indigenous people. And so, in a sense, the move towards repentance and reconciliation has to come from non-Indigenous directions as well. So for those who've been looking at this in a Christian perspective, there's one of the major sacraments of the traditional church in the Catholic and Orthodox traditions is known as reconciliation. It's also called confession, though that's just one part of the process. There's a lot of kind of popular media descriptions of confession which kind of don't get to the heart of it. So the process of reconciliation has a number of steps, and it's something that can be done by individuals or by communities or nations. So the steps involve acknowledging that you've done something wrong and saying sorry for it. And yeah, and as I love that Daniel Andrews was saying, you know, you don't just say sorry, you mean it. So
yes,
it's not like, you know, you sort of bump into somebody and say, oh, sorry, that's a bit trivial, but you actually recognize something's wrong and say sorry. And the next step is some form of repentance or reparation, making amends in practical ways. And this is, I think, something that in regards to Indigenous people, something that Australia hasn't really made much progress on since the apology in 2008. And this is part of there's a lot of arguments in Australia about what the country should be doing about Indigenous equality, and some will say, no, we should say things, we should do symbolic things like saying sorry. And others say, no, we should do sort of practical things, you know, welfare and government programs. And really, it's a whole process. You've got to say the words. You've got to have that symbolic meaning that sends a message about believing that there's a wrong that needs to be done, to be righted, and to actually make practical moves towards that.
And I definitely think what I read out from Daniel Andrews' Facebook, where he said that they're working with the Aboriginal community, and the Aboriginal community and leaders in Victoria are leading this, so leading what needs to be fixed, because we don't know what needs to be fixed. You know, saying sorry, yeah, that's great, but maybe that's not just what they want. They want X, Y, or Z, and we don't know that without asking first.
And there's different communities who have different wants and needs, so we can't just say all Indigenous people need something when there's so many different people, you know, in different states, different, you know, city and rural. So actually, this I think this reconciliation process is demonstrated better by what the Victorian government has done for those who were convicted of homosexual acts. They've said sorry, but they're also making this very practical step of allowing people to have their criminal records removed. So yeah, it's like, because these are things that they've had all their lives, that they've, you know, stopped people from getting jobs or, you know, applying for certain positions. So it's
definitely
something that has a real impact on their lives.
I think this is a personal feeling of mine, is that it's a little bit harder to expunge physical and mental traumas around the things that did happen to the Aboriginal community and that are still happening because, like, let's be honest, it's not all over yet. Like, right now, there's still definitely people within Australia who still do not treat Aboriginals as equals, which is very sad. They need to find other practical ways because it's not necessarily an action that can be done that will heal all wounds.
I've seen this image used in theological discussion about reconciliation is that if you break a pot, you can then glue it back together, but you can still see the cracks.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're talking about. We can't sort of just pretend that these things didn't happen, but we can sort of make some moves towards filling those gaps.
Definitely. So does the church have a role in this now, or is it more up to the government?
Some of the churches have been leading playing a big part in the discussions because they've got some of this thinking about reconciliation. And the Canadian example is good. Where churches have been part of the institutions that were separating families, they need to be part of the reconciliation movement to recognise their part in it. And some of the churches have made their own individual statements or apologies. And I think around when we're talking about this week's apology for the homosexual convictions, I was seeing commentary saying, well, it's great to have the parliament say this, but what about the police and the doctors who are also part of that machinery? And I think religious institutions or at least religious culture was a large part of the that. So that's something that hasn't been addressed, and that's something I think that needs further work from churches as well as law and justice and health professionals.
Definitely. And so I can say that with the Canadian, it actually, the reconciliation attempts began with the church apologies in the 1980s. So sometimes it takes the religion to step up and do something, and then everyone else will follow because sometimes that's just how it works. There is logic behind it, and I just can't put it together.
Well, we've been talking about saying sorry and apologies on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9, and we've got to make room for the bears coming into the woods tonight, so it's good night from me.
And good night from Rachel.
And we'll finish off with Treaty by Yothu Yindi.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.